The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was teaching in the temple area, he said, "How do the scribes claim that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" The great crowd heard this with delight. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. The last few days, if you've heard me for the last few days, you know that Jesus' enemies have been peppering him with questions, trying to trap him all week long, and it appears now at the end of the week they're finally out of questions. So Jesus himself poses a question. It's a question of age-old interest to the Jewish people. How can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Question of age-old interest to the Jewish people. And to answer it, he references where it came from. It comes from Psalm 110, which is what he quotes here. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." What on earth does that mean? Because the author of Psalm 110 was King David. And how could King David call his own son Lord? That was the question. That was the misunderstanding, because it was utterly unimaginable in the ancient world for a father to refer to his own son as Lord. So here's what Jesus does. He doesn't so much answer the question as raise a provocative thought. And this is what he suggests to the people. He says, imagine for a moment what it might mean for you if the Messiah, the Christ, the one that David is talking about, is actually greater than King David. And the crowds love to hear that, because when they thought Messiah, remember, they were expecting a political and economic leader. Somebody who was going to restore the greatness, the economic greatness, the international prestige, the political clout that Israel had in the days of King David. And so they think, greater than David? More prestige, more power, more prosperity? Wonderful. This is what the crowds imagined. That's why they heard this with great delight. Okay. But as you know, they misunderstood. The Messiah would indeed be greater than King David, but not in the way they imagined. He would be reviled and crucified. He would suffer and die, not for their economic prosperity, but for the forgiveness of their sins. What I'd like you to think about today is that we are very much like these crowds that were so delighted. We misunderstand in so many ways how God is greater than we imagine. There's two ways we misunderstand when we think that God is greater than we imagine. The first is actually a blessing. The first is positive. And that is that God's grace can do so much more than your efforts, way more than you imagine. You know, you ask to pray for somebody and you pray for them and you figure, what the heck difference does that make? That prayer did way more good for that person than your efforts ever could have done on your own. You know, you fast or you sacrifice for some good or for some purpose, way more than you could ever have done on your own. Can I give you an image that I find helpful to explain how God's activity by grace does more than our activity by the work of our own hands? Imagine, if you will, shoveling your driveway. It's hard to imagine in June, but try, okay? Shoveling your driveway. Now, you know how it is. You shovel and you shovel, and you do your darndest. But you haven't got anything like near all the snow up. There's still slicks here and patches there and crevices there, and you just can't get to them. Then suddenly the clouds part and the sun comes out. What happens? Within moments, everything is bone dry and perfect to a way you never could have done on your own. An instant. That's what God's grace does compared with our own efforts. So never belittle the power of prayer, power of sacrifice. It's the first way we misunderstand how God is greater than ourselves. But here's the second. The second is a challenge. The second is a challenge. St. John of the Cross says that most people have no idea the degree of self-abandonment that God requires of us before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Most people have no idea. Most people think they're pretty good, right? Most people think they're pretty good, and maybe they could use a little tweak here or tweak there. God has not come to tweak our lives. He's come to completely upend them. He's come to lead a revolution, and I want to tell you, it's going to hurt. God can't be gentle in bringing us to where we need to be brought to before we can get into the kingdom of heaven. There's some things that, you know, that you can be gentle. If it's a small little trouble, you can gently cure a small difficulty. Maybe a child stubs a toe. Hand them a lollipop, everything's better, right? Easy. But what happens if a child breaks an arm? Now you got to go to the emergency room, and you got to set the arm in a cast, and much more difficult. What happens if a child has cancer? Now you got to go through painful chemo for months and months at the risk of their life. But what loving parent would not give the child exactly what they needed to bring them to full health, even if it hurts? That's the way your Heavenly Father is to us. Sin is like spiritual cancer. God is far greater than we could ever have imagined, but we could never expect or understand how. You know, a great little story about that comes from the life of our saint today. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Boniface. Boniface was an 8th century Englishman who went into the heart of Germany, what's now Germany, and they say he was the greatest evangelizer since the days of Saint Paul, going through, evangelizing these hard-hearted, tough Ostrogoths and Visigoths. Try to imagine. Well, he came to this one town once, St. Boniface did. And there in the town, in the center of the town, was this great big oak tree. It was called Donar's Oak. And he couldn't evangelize these people in this town because they all believed that the power of the great god of thunder, Thor, resided in Donar's Oak. Couldn't preach the gospel there. So you know what Boniface did? He busted out an axe and he chopped down the tree. Used wood to build a church. Everybody thought that the god of thunder was going to strike Boniface dead right there on the spot. But he's like, no, if this sacred oak is getting in the way of the proclamation of the gospel, then hand me an axe, I'll take it down. You and I have lots of sacred oaks in our lives. Could be your comfort, could be your ease. Could be your plans, could be your reputation, could be your economics, could be your way of doing things. Sacred oaks that prevent the gospel from being proclaimed and penetrating into the depths of your heart. Don't be surprised if God busts out a spiritual axe and chops down your sacred oak. Don't be surprised. But you know what? He's going to use the pieces to build himself a dwelling in your heart, because God is always greater than we could ever possibly imagine. But let's ask for the prayers of the saints today to help us to surrender to divine providence wherever it might lead. Saint Boniface, pray for us.